Look, hey, this that rated R. With the homie Shaw, yeah. They telling me to stop. But I ain't even start. Tryna keep it real, yeah. Tryna keep it raw, yeah. Something you can feel, hey. And help you change your thoughts. Yeah, this that rated R. With that homie Shaw, yeah. Getting vulnerable, yeah. Showing you my scars, hey. Nah, I ain't got no chill, yeah. I do it for my God, yeah.
Hey, why yeah. We do it?
Said I do it for my God, yeah, yeah, yeah.
On, man, we are back in the building. Rated R, it's been a minute, but we here, man, and we got more people at the table, man. So we just gonna quickly introduce ourselves one time, and then we about to get into this conversation that we actually already started, but y'all gonna get filled in on that. But this is yours truly, Rashad, and let's see who else we got, man.
Let's go, man. You got me here, Jamar, with the two R's.
Double R.
You know what I mean? We out here, man, and we've been going around this round table just talking about life. Simple as that.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you know, they just picked me up in free agency, you know.
That's right.
Just gave me the bag.
Got the bag.
You know what I'm saying? Hey, this is double L. It's double L.
Oh man.
Hey, this is Lonell Lewis, man.
I'm
here. I'm ready. I appreciate you fellas for inviting me on y'all platform and allow me to join the process of building and growing. So I'm excited, y'all. Let's do it.
Yes sir. So what we doing, man, we just having a conversation, man. We you know, just back at it, trying to talk a little bit about how to build, how to become mm-hmm. better as men, as fathers, mm-hmm. as you know, just as people. And so that starts with just like clarity and just understanding, you know, who we are and what we're trying to do in life, man. And so just listening to this conversation, and we'll catch y'all next time.
Yes sir. With this cancel situation, do you really believe like that's the end of Lil Baby?
Well, I believe Tyler, the creator, you know, he was speaking on it, and he said, "What's the end game?" All right.
Facts.
What's the end game here? And you know, I think you see this with protests a lot, mm-hmm. right? We protest, make noise, express our opinions, but then at the end of the day, what's the end game? And I had the same sentiments with the NBA last year. When they were boycotting their games, right? I'm thinking, okay, what's the point?
What's the point?
What are y'all planning to buy back? Are y'all planning to invest in black communities, create our own sovereignty? Are you planning to, right, you know, whatever the case may be, how are you planning to just rectify this I would say, century-long issue, right? Missing a couple games? Why are you making millions of dollars, right, by playing basketball? You know, how is that helping the people? How can you help the people, right? But, you know, so that's another story. But, you know, just in terms of, like, what's the end game, right?
Right.
What's the point?
That's a very good question. We should always ask that. And, I mean, that question coming from Tyler, the creator, like, listening to his music and, like, he had this album, I think it was maybe 2018, 2017, called Rusty. And he was going off, like, blatantly using the word faggot. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, throwing it out there. And, I mean, he's not canceled. You know what I'm saying?
Sure,
like,
sure.
They still rocking with you at the end of the day. So this cancel culture,
context,
I also have
right.
to ask, like, you know, how much weight does that hold? You know what I mean? Are we just going through another phase or another fad? Like, at one point, Kanye was under hot water. Not with the homosexuality thing, but just with him saying wild stuff. You feel me?
Like MAGA
with,
hat.
You know, with the MAGA hat in there, talking crazy shit with
y'all. We all ready for this album to drop, so we can listen to it.
We are all ready. But you know, we got people.
We forgot. Everybody forgot.
We got influences. Yeah, exactly. Everybody forgot, quote unquote.
Hey, that's
but
a
do
great
you remember
topic, right?
When he was in there? When he was in the Oval Office? You know what I mean? Just some people would say shucking and jiving. Straight up with Donald Trump and all these influencers just saying I miss the old Kanye and this and that Kanye, and now fast forward, thank you Kanye for Donda, thank you, can't wait, thank you for re-releasing, thank you for this, thank you, you know what I'm saying? Like,
did we forget? Right?
It's complex, man.
It is complex.
We are complex people and we got to give each other room, but at the same time, because it's like, I feel like this is, you know, accountability culture. Which is good. We need the accountability because for so long we haven't had it. You know, people just pretty much, you know, getting away with either saying whatever they want to say. But to me, I felt like, you know, where do you draw the line? Like, what is okay, what's not okay? Mm-hmm. You know, like, mm-hmm. is it okay to just, you know, because, like, it's funny, like, because, you know, for example, like, music. You know, I know, like, the Versus situation, and maybe we can get into this. I don't know. I feel like we having such a good conversation. We probably need to just record. Are we good? No, mm-hmm. no. But it's just like, even for Dipset and the Lox, I remember being in high school and listening to these songs, and it's just like, yo, this is the best. Like, this right. is whatever. And then yep. now, it's like, I can't listen to it the same way. Right. Like, it's still like, yo, this is true. Great music. True. But, like, true. It's just like, I listen to it, I'm like, man. This right here, like, that's very immature, like, to say the least, you know what I mean?
But, you know, I'm glad you said that, because, you know what, you know, I like my some of my new rappers, like, yo, man, what is his name, man, Moneybagg Yo, mm-hmm. right? Or was it Yo Moneybagg?
Moneybagg Yo,
right? So, his song, Waukesha, right? Mm-hmm. If you know what he's talking about, he's talking about lean, right? Promethazine, right? Mm. And he's serenading her on the track, right? Mm. Right? And we understand, like, what kind of crisis we're in, right? We're in
opium crisis.
Yeah, right? And so we're in this space, right, where you have, you know, this rapper making this pretty hot song that's not just a hot song, but it's like a smash, like it's on the radio.
Right.
So, my daughter's singing the song. Like, singing. Yo, do you know what this means?
Right.
Right? Hey, you know, when I'm alone, I'm alone. Right. So, but, like, to your point, right, it's like, you know, where do we draw the line as men, right, in terms of what we decide to listen to, what we decide to put in our minds? Because if we're not careful, right, you know, if we don't have the level of consciousness that we have, right, it could be dangerous, right? You know, we could definitely be putting ourselves in a bad space. Right. But nonetheless, man, that's a true statement. You do have those feelings like, should I be listening to this?
You know? Yeah, but if you don't have somebody that's there to help filter the content to kind of help you. Because to me, like, I want to be that person with my kids. Like, mm-hmm. I don't want them to be, like, so, what do you call it, sheltered mm-hmm. that they can't recognize anything in the culture just because, oh, this is not good. Let me, you know. But it's like, all right, you heard this. Like, they like to ask questions anyway. Mm-hmm. But for me, it's like, all right, hey, let's talk about this. Because, like, you're going to get exposed to this at some point.
Facts.
How do we have a conversation about it in a safe way that, like, gives you the sense of safety and the sense of confidence that you can engage in this versus, like, somebody else bringing this to you. Ooh. And they're not able to even, like, help you, mm-hmm. or it's like coming from a, like, oh, this is just mm-hmm. it. This is what we do.
So, I mean, mm-hmm. I'm going to do my best to speak from experience and not saying that my way is the right way or wrong way, but mm-hmm. I was encountered with that challenge. Mm-hmm. And yeah. I'm going to tie a little bit of art into it because mm-hmm. at the Dirty South exhibit, right. they have this okay. painting that is an ode to DJ Screw.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So, okay. where, you know, we're talking about the codeine and the promethazine and whatever, right?
Right.
And this. And I'm gonna, you know, when I find the picture, I'm gonna let you see it.
Right.
But it's so loaded, y'all. You know what I mean? Because mm-hmm. one is dope. It's just beautiful in mm-hmm. itself. And I feel horrible because I don't know the artist's name. I don't recall the artist's name.
It's yeah, a but shame. It's a beautiful painting.
But
yeah,
it's,
nice.
It's a beautiful painting, a mural, if you will, and it's all inclusive of Houston and yeah. Houston culture and DJ Screw, right? Mm-hmm. And Jackson was just there looking at the artwork, and it was so loaded, and it had everything in there. And Jackson was just like, "What is this? What is that?" And it had.
Oh, Dad, you're talking about DJ Screw?
Yes, Jackson, I am.
The dude who makes his lean looks fried.
Yeah, Jackson, that guy. That's the guy. Man, we are keeping it raw here on Cul-de-sac King. Man, I'm telling you. Yeah.
Yo, the timing.
Yo, exactly right. Hold, yo, take a look at that, G. You know what I'm saying? So one of the feature paintings or whatever, and he begins to just start asking questions. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, what is this? Why is this bright purple? You know what I mean? And I wanted to play that role as, thank you, Jackson. Y'all can go.
We're getting boxes.
No, y'all can't get on boxes. No, please.
Go ahead. Y'all go ahead. I'm about to take your phone, bro.
Jaya, what do you need? No.
Y'all can't get boxes. Y'all can't come in here no more. Until we say so. I hope we laid that down. Anyway, he began to start asking questions. He started asking questions about, like, what does this mean? What does that mean? The Sprite and everything. Yeah. He even asked a deep question. How do you even get this? Mm-hmm. How do you get the codeine? How do you get... Right. And I was like, well, it's sold at drugstores. And you have to have, you know, a prescription to get it or whatever.
A bottle
and
talk.
You know what I'm saying? Bottle. Yeah. Yeah, he even asked me about that. And I was like... I don't know why they did that. I was like, have you ever seen them, you know, the video sipping on some scissor? Of course you haven't. Oh my gosh. You know, this was popping back in 2000. Yeah. Yeah. Born,
sipping on some scissor.
You know what I'm saying? On some scissor. But I'm glad that I was the one to be able to kind of give my take and my explanation on that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And to let him know, hey, because there was education there. This is something, if you abuse this, if you know what I mean? You have to be careful because you can lose your life. Your heart can stop. You know what I'm saying? Yep. You straight up get a heart attack. Yep. Straight up. Yep. You know what I'm saying? So, those moments I feel like are so important and so key. You know what I mean? There's always, like, teachable moments, man. Definitely teachable moments, man. And tying it in with culture, again, we talk about the contradiction of what's going on. Like, right? You know, there is a epidemic going on as well as a pandemic. And at the same time, like, you have some people out here who, whether they do it intentionally or unintentionally, they may be kind of like promoting abuse. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
I think that's interesting because I think we had this conversation after DMX passed.
Facts. Yeah.
And it's like, you know, what are we going to talk about? Because I think DMX obviously meant so much to us, to the culture, to hip-hop. And I felt like there's a conversation that was also missed. And that, I mean, I feel like, you know, people can have a conversation, but, like, I feel like his story is, as much as it's a great story, it's a story of overcoming, you know, and dealing with, you know, everything that happened, as the trauma that he went through as a kid to get to where he was, right? But, like, man, like, you know, it's still like a sad ending, you know what I mean? And so, like, I feel like that's like, how do you have a serious conversation about, you know, drugs and alcohol and addiction in a way that the culture can say, like, hey, like, we love and appreciate everything that he was for, and like, how do we learn from it, you know, so that we don't see the same thing happening to other rappers in the future? Because to me, I felt like he was on a good path, and then we just don't, that's the part that's kind of like, that was hard for me. I felt like there wasn't a ton of closure.
Right. Isn't that the end game, though? Like, isn't that a part of what the end game is? How we talk, like, what is the end game? Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's the end game. Like, what do you learn from it? What lessons do you get from it? Right. How can we continue to teach our community, you know, what the end game is, or the moral of the story? Because yes, we love DMX, and you know, but at the same time, we can be a victim of our vices.
Fact.
You know,
that's so true.
Simple as that. You know, and you know, we were talking about earlier, like, how we have to do things in moderation. You know, which is so important, having that discipline and self control. All those things are so important to have.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
That's like the, that's what we need with the gift of freedom of freedom of choice, right? Yeah. We need that parity, right? Because if we don't have it, right? We don't have discipline, we don't have self-control, then free will definitely will be our demise. Right? And so I like the connection, because you think about it, what we want to do with our kids is teach them through their own language, right?
Right.
Through the music, through art, through TV, right? Whatever the case may be, things that they can understand right then and there, right? And I like that. I mean, that's a great way to flip it and see it, you know, and how we can be better fathers, better men, and teach our kids, but not condone things, not make it seem like it's an issue. Don't do that. Don't do this. All right. Yes. This is why you don't do it. Give them the
this
why.
This is why. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, going back to the art and that mural, like, is a beautiful piece of work, but there was a lot of sadness and pain in that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, absolutely. They were mourning his death.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
yeah.
Screw. I don't like to say could have, would have, should have, but he, you know, he could still be alive had we not get a hold on our desires.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And our control with addiction. And at the same time, our story is written in the stars already. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, you have to find that balance there too. But it's important to just have that discipline,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's the one thing that I'm trying to teach to my child and, you know, my nephews and my nieces and things like that, you know, curbing your appetite, because our appetite can be so wild, bro.
Yeah.
Straight up.
Listen, man, that's a fact.
That is. You know, I mean, but you know, at the end of the day, you got to learn those lessons, right? And I think everything is for a reason. There's no coincidences, right?
Mm. I believe that.
You know, his passing may have woken somebody up. May have saved a life or two. You never know. But, you know, you hate to look at people as martyrs, right? Just dying for no reason. You know, just dying, you know, for a cause that maybe they didn't know was a cause. Like even DMX, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
That's another one who OD'd, you know, off another substance. But at the same time, he meant so much to so many people.
So much.
Right. And honestly, to the culture. And you think about, we all rooted for him. Like, we all felt like, man, DMX, man, he looks good, right? He,
right,
man,
you know,
he's
way back. Everything.
He's got his way back. He's looking like X, man.
Yeah. You know, putting out a new album. And the album was pretty good, you know. I think those are, you know, one thing I did recognize in the album, you didn't see a whole lot of growth in the album.
Mm.
You know? And it's like...
Interesting you say that.
Yeah.
The power of what you say and your words,
mm-hmm.
and how that reflects what's really going on. But it...
Yeah.
But I feel like, yes, the one song that I feel it, like the growth.
It was
Go ahead.
Yeah, I would want to look for a piece, an album from a 50-year-old man.
Right.
The whole album's growth.
Gotcha.
I don't want resemblance of who X was when I was, you know, coming up in middle school and high school, right?
Yeah.
You know, like, if I want that X, I'm going to listen to his older albums. I'm thinking like, man, I'm gonna get some vulnerable X. I'm gonna have to get some happy X, right?
Right.
I feel like it was some of the same like lyrics, or some of the same content, you know, of being, you know.
Yeah. And that gotta be one of the hardest things about being one of these OG artists.
Mm-hmm.
Your whole fan base is based on the stuff that you've been doing.
Sure.
That's what you've been doing, what you know it for.
People say they want you to grow, but then like, you know, when it comes to supporting the project, it's like, man, what's this?
Let's put it in perspective. Right. Nas, right? He's definitely different from his older stuff.
Definitely
different. Right? Man, trying to think. I mean, we was talking about Kanye, I mean, he's in a whole another direction though, but I mean, he's an older artist.
I did like the so he made a song for his son.
Mm-hmm.
Which I thought was like, gee, because I felt like, you know, I don't know if y'all ever watched this. I know I'm kind of a low key nerd on this stuff, but like, Yama Van Zant, like, Fix My Life.
Okay.
So there's an episode where her ex's son Xavier.
Yeah, I seen that though.
Yeah. And so she was there and the ex was there, but like at this point in his life, he was not clean.
Right.
So, you know, so it was interesting, like, seeing that clip, that episode, which was probably like 6 or 7 years ago, and then to hear this record where he's addressing his son.
His son, yeah.
And I was just like, yo, like, so to me, I look for those moments where I'm just like, yo, you was here, now you're
mm-hmm.
addressing this like a man,
mm-hmm.
and the fact that I was on the album, and I'm assuming, like, there was conversations before that came out and everything like that,
but
I was just like, wow, like, that's pretty big, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, it's like it's little things like that. You're not gonna get like a whole growth joint like that probably from X,
right.
And the fans are gonna be like, "Oh yeah," you know what I'm saying? Like, so They want that get at me dog, they but want they still that. Want.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
still want. So it's hard, man.
It
so,
is hard. It is. I could only imagine being an entertainer and the pressure man. That you have to deal with, you know what I mean? And yeah, I mean, some people don't do it intentionally, but like your growth can be stunted, mm-hmm. You know, because they want that. That good old somebody, you know what I mean? Right. That old, oh, I miss the old, but you gotta grow.
You gotta grow.
You have to grow, and it's so necessary, bro. So,
so that might be a good transition to how did y'all feel about the DMX? I mean, not DMX, the Lox versus Dipset versus,
yeah.
bro.
Yeah.
It was
nostalgic.
It was. Yeah.
You know, I think it took me back, man. You know, I think, you know, the kids looking at me like I'm crazy. I'm like, this is D Block, mighty D Block.
Yo, what they was doing up that late? Hey, you know, they ain't starting on time. They're talking about 9 o'clock.
They looking they at me like I'm crazy, too. Right? So, I mean, I loved it. You know, I loved the banter between Dipset and the Lox.
I did enjoy it. I did.
You know,
enjoy
I'm like, yeah, they really need bag. Like they. Like, and but I think Jada, you know, he just represented like a sense of a confidence, right? That yes. I didn't feel like Dipset had. Dipset's so cool, right? You yeah. know, he's cool as a fan, right? So, but it's like
Cam though. I feel like Cam was gonna come harder.
True. I thought because he's probably the more seasoned artist right. out of all of them, right?
Exactly. Right. Yeah. My take on it was like, it was style versus actual skill. You know what I mean? Like, when I say style, like Dipset, they were the trendsetters.
Harlem.
You feel me? Yeah. They were the trendsetter. Yeah, historically, right. Harlem was known for that.
Exactly.
To be, you know, being that they're so close to the Manhattan Fashion District, like, they were the ones to set the trend with pink. Everything. And we talking about everything. The pink everything. We talking
bandanas.
About the tall tees, the jeans, the denim, the bandanas, how you wear your hat, how you cock your hat a certain way.
Yeah.
You feel me? With the boots, everything, you know what I mean? With the cars and everything. And D Block, where they come from,
Yonkers.
You know what I mean? No disrespect. None at all. Like, yo, but you know, they more focused on function than fashion. You know what I mean? Yeah, so it was really function versus fashion. Yeah. And like, I'm just peeping game, like, you know, Lox and Jadakiss, like, you forgetting your words. Yo, they don't even know the words. Yeah. Hold on. And then when it's their time, they are on point. Lox is on point. You know what I'm saying? With the lyrics and everything.
Right.
You know? And Jada in the background talking, like, what does that even mean? You over here making up words. You know what I mean? And they just straight.
Oh my gosh, killing it, man. Performing. The commentary.
Mm-hmm.
The commentary from Jadakiss.
Oh, yeah.
Was legendary. Yeah. To me, that was better. Just the songs at some point, because it was just like the stuff that he was saying
is funny. I'm like, Cam bro. was a good spark to it too, because he just always talks shit.
He always talks shit.
You know, he always been talking.
That's Cam's role. Cam,
look at your shoes, yo.
That's
look
him.
At your hat, yo.
But I feel like it was great coming from Jada because, like, you know that he got bars, so he can back it up.
Sure.
Better than anybody on the stage. So he's like, yo, I'm going to show you. Like, better than I can even tell you. Like, I showed you.
But I would say this, too. The Lox took it more serious.
They did.
Yeah. Right? It's they were prepared. They were ready.
They did.
You know, and, like, and you also tell they perform together. Like, you can tell they friends. Like, they still kick it. Like, looking at Dipset, you know, you didn't have that camaraderie, right? You didn't have that synergy, you feel?
Interesting.
You know, and I think that's another thing. Like, it was lip syncing, right? They wasn't really on cue with their songs, you know, you can tell the energy won't there. And also, like, how they structured their music, you know, it seemed like the preparation seemed like it wasn't really, really consistent to me, you know. But the Lox, they was on point. Like,
they were
finishing each other's, you know, lines and everything. You know, so it was beautiful to see that.
It was a little, like, it's like after Who Shot You? And then I was just like, and then like Freaky Zeke just coming out.
That's what Freaky does.
I'm just like,
he does.
Freaky
does. You need a freak.
I'm like, no.
Freaky Is he coming, bro? God, what is your purpose?
Yo, but Freaky, his purpose.
Conan, is Conan, yeah.
But Jada said, yo, it's like, yo, man, you up here getting, you getting a free bag. Like, you
know, right.
You getting, right. Free, you getting a free bag. You up here for no reason. Right. What are you doing with? Right, but yeah, it was y'all.
Sorry,
man.
Freaky.
You know, you ain't in New York, you been in Miami.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Miami, son. I live everywhere.
But there was even a point where they was like, man, y'all ain't got no lady songs, right?
Oh,
and I think
gosh.
This was like maybe.
I thought that was a setup for real.
Yo, like, they was like, we ain't got no lady song. Do, 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 do. You know what I'm saying? They was coming out. Oh, this one with J-Lo. Oh, this one with Mary J.
Yeah. And, then they got some range that they didn't even do. Kiss got a joint with Mariah.
Yeah.
I mean, I was like, that was a hit. I was like, he didn't even do that one. Yeah. So, I mean.
But you know, I think too, people don't realize that Lox has been in the game probably since 96.
Yeah.
95, 96.
Well,
They certified. Dipset didn't come around to 99, 2000, maybe 2000. Even 2000.
They came early 2000s,
right?
For real, they surfaced early.
Yeah, 2000s. So yeah. Cam, he was in the mix, but
right.
But again, you know, horse and carriage, you ain't really rocking that in no versus challenge. I don't know, right? I mean, I can't even think of any other hits he had other than Horse and Carriage solo.
Wow, solo.
That era. Yeah, that mid '90s.
Solo, and he wasn't even really solo because Mace was on the. You know what I mean? Like,
Mace was
the
guy.
He kind of pushed him. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? He kind of had that push. I'm thinking Purple City.
Purple Haze, right?
That's when he really
broke out.
That was his solo thing. You know what I mean? And he still had a little help from. Kanye.
I think Dipset is like their beats make them. I feel like the Lox make their songs. Like
lyrics,
they have bars and they actually bring like so. I mean, even though you know SP, right? Like he still is like a legit artist. You have to respect him.
Yeah.
Sheep, you still gotta respect Sheep. You know what I'm saying? Everybody else on Dipset, I mean like people will I think they have just fans. Mm-hmm. It's not like they have all this. I mean, they got skills, but like they have more fans than anything. Like, I mean, Jim Jones has a following, but like they're like what Vampire Life? Like, what are we talking Damn, about?
But
like,
let's be real though. Where did Dipset come from? Right, they came from a powerhouse. Mm-hmm. Right, they had Rockefeller behind them. So they had all the best producers.
Dame, they can thank Dame for that.
Yeah, you're saying all the best producers, all Kanye, the best promo, right?
Kanye made a lot of joints, made a lot of features.
A lot.
And I don't know if he did I'm Ready. I have to look that up.
No, I don't think so.
Nah.
I think a lot of it was Heatmakers and who else?
Who did I Really Mean It? That joint was flame.
Yeah.
But
that's the thing. I like listening to their beats more so than I can. You know, I would listen to their beats much as I would listen to Dipset.
That's where I am in my life right now. I'm going to have to say that. Like, right now, I'm going to go and look up Dipset instrumentals, and I'm going to ride to them.
I can literally do that.
I'm good with that. I might throw in the Cam verse from time to time, or Juelz verse. But, the production was
I like Juelz. But,
yeah, Juelz has style. You know what I mean? My man has style.
I think this man used to freestyle. I don't know if he ever wrote his stuff down. But
it ain't nothing new.
But he got signed, bro. Like, oh my gosh, he got signed by Jada Kiss.
Yeah, real talk. Yeah.
I'm not surprised though. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, legit. I felt like going in. I was like, Dipset has an edge in this whole situation.
You think so?
I never
felt like that.
How?
Because I just what we were talking about. Like, if they had really came correct, like their songs were bigger smashes.
Just Blaze. I forgot about Just Blaze.
Like, well, I said this. Their producers were better.
The producers were better. They had the best producers.
They had strong.
Yeah,
but if you just took out the crowd and you just had blow for blow, song for song, I feel like Dipset probably could have came out of that Joker.
Yeah.
But
you
like,
know,
it was the crowd.
But the argument back in the day was like, yo, let me listen to it a cappella. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. When it was a cappella, that says everything. Mm-hmm. Take the beat away.
Yep.
Because back in the day, when it was like crazy battle culture, people would be like, yo, put a beat on, and they would laugh. You know what I mean? But you remember how I used to be face to face. I smack you, and then I crack you, and then I take the Mac, and then I click clack you, and then smack you. And then oh.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah,
that's hip. I bet, but it was just like they really embodied hip hop,
mm-hmm.
and that's really what I loved about it. It was just like I was listening to who was it? Fat Joe gave a little bit of commentary afterwards, and he was just like, "You had to be there to get it." Because just like the atmosphere took people back. So, I mean, we were watching it, but like if you were actually in the building, it was like, it was like going back to the block. Like, yo, this was a crazy battle. Like the energy, like the way they was going at it. And so to me, that's what I appreciate. It's just like, okay, like there's so many different elements at play here, you know? And then, and the fact that they were able to leave peacefully. Cause there was a couple moments
where you thought it was a little heated.
And I was like, okay, all right,
it's about to get real. Somebody from the entourage about to swing, and then it's about to get real.
I'm like, so they left peacefully. I felt like they was responsible about that, man. So I'm glad they showed love.
Yeah,
you know. So I think that to me, that's the moment for me. It was just like, okay, at the end of the day, they had a bigger picture. You know. So I appreciated that.
It was a great battle, man. Great verses. Probably one of the best as far as hip hop.
Energy wise.
You felt good. You know, you didn't feel like, damn, they really fell off, right? You know, you see some of these like, right? You different, man. You half of what you used to be.
Yeesh.
But it's like looking at Jada, like, yo, Jada, like, he's still like, putting out great music. And I'll be honest, his last album was really good too.
Yeah.
I think that was last year, I believe. 2020. So they all, like, I mean,
season.
It's all, man, it's love, man. I was definitely very appreciative to see that.
Me too.
So we'll see, man. I think they're going on tour.
Yeah,
I looked at the tour list and State Property on there too.
Oh wow!
Chain Gang.
Yep.
State Property.
Oh man.
Yeah, we definitely going back, bro.
We definitely going
back to SP.
So is Seagull gonna be there? Cause like I'm like, can dude still
gonna
rap?
He got bro. He don't say properly without Beans.
Yeah,
bro.
I mean, I know, but like, if, like this man can hardly. I mean,
talk.
I was just like, how is he gonna do this physically?
Yeah.
Like, I'm a little curious.
I'm late on this. Yeah. I did not know that he was having.
I think his lung collapsed or something, bro.
Oh word!
Yeah.
Wow.
So like, if you hear this man talking, just on Drink Champs.
If you listen to him talking. Really?
It's just like he talk like this, you know what I mean? Like this, you know, it's his whole
energy
is
different. Yeah,
I'm like, it don't sound like, you know, Broad Street Bully. It's like,
nah, I definitely don't sound like Mac.
Yeah,
really.
So
it don't sound like.
But Mac. I mean, I think people just appreciate just
his presence,
his presence.
Out there.
You know,
that's life, man. How do you adapt? You feel me?
Yeah.
I mean, I remember, like, you think about Jeezy, like he was. I think there was at one point when he was getting ready to lose his voice or something like that.
Oh, where?
Yeah, he had issues, like he straight up was getting ready to lose his voice, like for good, for some whatever reason.
I don't even remember that.
He came back. This was when he first started rapping. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Something happened with his voice. But
the mad libs, huh?
Nonetheless, man, exactly.
Yeah.
Nonetheless, man, you gotta persevere.
You already
man.
Know.
Dang.
Look, man, so I feel like one of the things that we wanted to, you know, spend some time talking about and discussing, you know, as we think about ourselves and all that's going on. Obviously, there's a lot to be proud of, a lot to celebrate.
Mm-hmm.
But we still in this day and age where it's just a lot going on, a lot to process. I mean, obviously, we're still in the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, day by day, we're getting more information about different variants and just trying to continue making our adjustments to how we live and how to be safe and everything like that. You know, just being black in America ain't changed, you know what I'm saying? You know, being a black man, you know, just the negative news that we see and bombarded with on a regular, man, it's a lot. And I think, you know, it's one thing to say that you're okay. It's another thing to say, like, you know, you have... I guess what we would call like clarity, you know.
Right.
So I wanted us to kind of discuss a little bit about that and just kind of like your perspectives on how you, like, what's your story behind like staying in that space, or maybe you're not in that space. I don't know. I want to make the assumption because I think it's okay to say that you're not there. But, you know, How is that looking for y'all, man? Like, how would you even define that, you know?
I'll start, you know, as far as clarity and being able to find peace during a lot of this confusion. I find myself, you know, continuing to stay occupied, even in moments like this right now, you know. Gotcha. What I mean? Like, believe it or not, this is therapy for me. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm finding peace in here because I get to exercise my voice and I get to vent. I get to talk. I get to share my perspective. And hopefully that brings, you know, insight and inspiration, you know. But it's not easy. You feel me? It's not easy at all trying to find clarity throughout everything, because things can change in the blink of an eye.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? As far as what we're supposed to be doing.
Right.
You know
right.
what I'm saying? Like, with this variant and us potentially going back to what we were in, you know, 2020. I don't, you know, God forbid we have to go back to that hardcore lockdown or whatever. But, you know, that looms. You know what I mean? And the fear of our family and friends being harmed and everything, all that looms. So what are the things that we do, or the things that I do, to continue to kind of cope and find therapy? It's a lot, you know. And again, you know, continuing to vent, using this space, taking advantage of what's going on out here. And, you know, on the local level, you know, with, you know, thank God there are events and things like that going on, you know what I mean? Like, church and, you know, that stuff, that can help. I don't care what anybody says, you know, whether you're going virtually or not, you know what I mean? Just being able to find a spot to worship and let that out, man, you know, because we definitely have to talk about faith and exercise and faith and things like that. And even... Yeah. You know, going and, you know, y'all, you and the lady going and dating and going to the museum and stuff like that. Right, like, it's so necessary. And we have to remind ourselves that, yes, we do have something to do. There are things to do. And it's, I don't know, it's necessarily taking our mind off of it, but it's another outlet to kind of, I don't want to say temporarily forget, but to cope. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I've been doing a number of things, man. I'm curious to hear how y'all have been dealing with it, and, you know, maybe y'all know other people, what they're going through. I'm curious to hear.
Yeah, I feel that. I mean, I think that's a interesting topic, right? Thinking about how do we self-care, right? How do we take care of ourselves in the midst of adversity, right? I feel like over the last year, going into 2 years, we've been in just constant adversity. And I think staying ahead of that adversity mentally is important, right? And I think one thing that I've learned that I have to do, I have to stay grounded, you know, in some sense of reality. Mm. Stay grounded also with my emotions, right? Mm. So, you know, learning and being self-aware at all times, right?
Yeah.
Of what I'm thinking and what I'm feeling, right? Because if I'm not, right, I'm going in rabbit holes I don't want to go in, right? I'm Alice in the Wonderland, you know?
Yeah, you're saying and doing whatever, for real.
Yeah, most definitely.
Yeah, most definitely. Well, now, so real quick, since this is, like, a lot of people who may be tuning in to this podcast, you recognize a couple of the voices, but your voice may not be as familiar. So you saying some words that's real, you know, intellectual and you know, you got a background in this, so educate us, right? The dictionary word, self-awareness. So talk to us real quick about what you do, man, so we can have a bit more understanding, and then of course, you know, continue what you're saying.
Yeah, most definitely. Well, you know, like Rashad said, you know, I have a background in mental health, or, you know, self-care. I'm a therapist. I've been practicing therapy for, I would say, last almost 10 years now. You know, promoting self-love is what I do, you know, because if we're not loving ourselves, you know, what are we doing, right? How can we expect love from someone else? We can't do it ourselves, right? So So all that to say is, right?
Drop one of Clue's bombs for lying that, right?
Right. We got bombs.
Bro. Yeah, dropping bombs, man. Yeah, because we got to definitely, you know, do that for ourselves, right? And self-awareness is part of self-love, right? So you look at, you know, how we are being mindful, right, of what we thinking, right? Because out here, it's, you know, like we said, like the Delta variant. We have just like the constant issues with race relations. We have, you know, whatever concoction of issues, right, that right. the world may want to throw at us personally, mm-hmm. right? And how do we navigate it, right? And, you know, the first thing, man, you have to really understand how it's making you feel, because if you don't, then it's just going to succumb you, and you're not, and you're going, it's going to be too late, right? You know, mm-hmm. so.
That's huge.
Yeah.
Understanding how it makes you feel.
I feel like that's such a important step, because I feel like I encounter people, and we dudes, man. So like, if we talking to other guys, just listen. I feel like there are times when you try to name your emotions and you can't really do sure. it, or you don't even know how to like identify it. You know what I'm saying? So like, you know what. What would you say, or you know, what would anybody say as far as like how have you grown in your ability to know how you feel? Mm-hmm. Because there's times when I still don't know, takes me a while to figure that out. Because I'm an introvert, I'll be in my head, I'm a thinker, and sometimes I don't really know. Like I'm like, how do I feel? I don't know.
So with me, I'll say that it's not as complicated as I can make it with. Identifying a feeling, right? It's just sometimes I don't want to say it. So here's one. Insecurity.
Right. Yeah.
Boom. Fear.
Yeah.
Boom. You know, doubt, whether it's for yourself or, you know, your environment. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
A lot of those things, those ingredients is kind of what plays on a pride. Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. Ego. Mm-hmm. Like those ones that I name right there are like big... like conduits to a lot of that negative energy, if you will.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But like coming to terms with it. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, I agree. I definitely think those are all those emotions that men are afraid to show.
Yeah.
But when you really step back from it, it's all vulnerability, right?
Yeah. Yes, that's the word.
You know, how do we be vulnerable, right? And I think... how are we vulnerable with ourselves, right? Because I think that's what you're saying. Like, hey, when I'm feeling insecure, you know, when I'm feeling this, that, and the third, you know, how can I accept it? You know, that's a big part of your emotion. Mm-hmm. If you're not accepting your emotion or how you feel about that one thing, then it's going to be some adverse effects, right? Because you're going to, because it's going to express itself.
You're going to find a way, right?
Yeah, you're going to find a way to exercise how you feel. It just may not be healthy.
All right, fellas, so appreciate what y'all been sharing so far on clarity, mental clarity specifically, because I think there's so many different types of clarity that we can, you know, have, talk about. I know we kind of mentioned spirituality as another piece that kind of adds into that. But I'm curious, man, like, I know we all have stories, and as Lionel was just talking about, like, being vulnerable is key to us growing and understanding our feelings, understanding that clarity. So like, you know, I think it would be cool for us to share maybe a story or whatever, like about a time when you maybe didn't have that clarity and something that you did to finally get to that place of, you know, either maybe it's mental health or the self-care or, you know, but I think just coming to that place of like, yo, like, and it's, and I think it's important to also say this, because I think one of the things that I've done in my process is recognize that clarity doesn't mean like I know everything.
Yeah.
Right.
Like clarity doesn't mean, I mean, when I think of clarity, I think of like, you know, like I guess a good like symbol, maybe like a window or like a windshield or something where it's like I can see through it. And sometimes it's foggy or whatever. You're trying to like just kind of see through it. Right. Like I hate driving and it's like the window fogs up. So I'm like, I can't see where I'm going. But I think the key is like you were talking about self-awareness, right? Like knowing, like what's in front of you, what's around you. And then from there, you deciding to like take whatever decision, make the choices, right? And say, all right, cool. Now here's where I want my destination to be, right? So like how have you guys experienced maybe like that fog, like where you're not in a good place, where you're not really sure where you're going, where you're not sure who you are, you know what I mean? So like what's that look like?
That's deep, man. I've been in a lot. I'll be honest, man. My lifetime, I've been very lost. You know, and I'll be honest, I've been married for almost 9 years, just in a couple of weeks. Together, 15, right?
Congrats, so, bro.
Yeah, appreciate it. But as we know, with that time brings obstacles, it brings challenges, right?
Sir.
It brings moments of defeat, you know. And so, I've definitely had to learn how to be, how to have more clarity on what I want for myself, what I want for my family, you know, and that's just based on the decisions you make, right? And the things you invite in your life. And, you know, and so, you know, things I've done, right, to gain that clarity, right? Whether any moments of stress, whether it's relationships, marriage, whether it's work related, right? There's moments I felt really stuck, like, almost stuck in a way, like, you know, you hitting a glass ceiling. You see what you want, but you can't get it because it's not time for it yet, right? I feel like things are all supposed to happen in divine order, right? So it's one thing has to happen before we can get to that next, but you see it. Yeah. And they said, I think I had heard something that said, a visionary, right, is one who's probably the most impatient. Right, because he can actually see what he wants, right, but he has to wait for it.
Yeah.
Right. So what I've done, kind of just boil it down into one thing that I feel like it's always grounds me, is water. Right.
Interesting.
I go to the river, to the pond, to the lake, anything is where there's water, and I pray. Right. And as we all, it's, and I think also do some research and understand the power of water. Like if you manifest things in water, right, it has an energy to right, where, you know, whether it's a current, right, which I love going to the James, right, because that current, right, it just symbolizes something, right? You think about a river. What does a river do? It goes through everything, right? Goes over it, goes through it, goes around it, right? Doesn't stop. Never seen a river that stop unless some beavers dam it, but they still gonna find a way to go over it, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, I say all that to say, you know, praying and finding something that's going to ground you, whether it's nature, water, whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
But, you know, I definitely, that's my go-to.
I like that. I like that go-to situation. I think for me in 2020, you know, when a lot of this really started to intensify, I had to get out of my comfort zone, and the one thing that I decided to do was go to therapy.
Ooh.
I decided to go to therapy. And the way we talk about like divinity and divine alignment is how I ended up running into the circle of wellness practice.
Okay.
Unbeknownst to me. Prior to, you know, my fellow neighbor,
right,
I was seeking black therapists, you know, especially black men, you know, just for the sake of relatability, you know, that's what I believed in, you know, to talk to somebody who looked like me, whether he, you know, look, you know, your brother, your father, you know, somebody that looks like you, and God has just, you know, arranged this whole thing to where, you know, I ended up being 100% vulnerable with somebody who became my neighbor. You know what I mean? We live less than a mile. Like, I can literally skip to his house.
Yeah.
And, you know, to be able to just be vulnerable, to be honest, to be able to speak with somebody who was a neutral factor in my life, to tell me the things that I needed to hear, that I was supposed to hear, rather than, you know, confiding in a brother or a sister or a mother, you know, somebody who didn't really know me. I think was definitely a way that I could find clarity, because they also left me with tools for coping and things like that.
It's a blessing, bro.
You know, and you know, also on another note, like how we talk about water and using water, you know, finding these hobbies
and things to kind of take us away from being in our heads so much. So, you know, going to the lake in the neighborhood mm-hmm. and fishing and just not really thinking about what's wrong, but thinking about how can I get a fish? What lure can I use? You know what yeah. I mean? What way can I cast? What area can I go towards? What can I go in this area and see if I can catch a fish? You know what I'm saying? Little stuff like that. Just thinking about how I can accomplish a simple task. And it's more simple than we think, or more complicated than we think. But nonetheless, you know, getting out of my comfort zone and, you know, being vulnerable with somebody, you know.
Yeah, we fathers out here, man. We y'all hit it. Y'all hit it. Straight up. We got
the kids. Every 5 minutes, they're trying to interrupt.
Straight up. They know what's going on, too. Yeah,
they know the vibes. Mm-hmm. They always do.
Hey, look, they just trying to get closer to the, you know, to the real talk here, man.
That's it.
But, yeah, man, I think both of y'all share something that I can relate to. Because I really love being in nature. Nature is like, it's something symbolic about just being outside in the elements. Like, I like trees. Like, my thing is, like, and water, too. So, I remember a few moments where I went to the Belle Isle or whatever. And just, like, yeah, just, like, watching water just, like, move. And it just, like, soothes you, you know. It's I think it's just because of, you know, it's an element that is, like, it's just there. You know what I mean? But... yeah, so I think back to a moment where I did not have much clarity and I was definitely, like, you know, experiencing fear or experiencing, you know, just that sense of being trapped, right? Mm-hmm. You feel stuck, right? Mm-hmm. And everything was just foggy because I'm like, I don't know what we're going to do, you know? Mm-hmm. So I know at this point, this is probably a few years ago, when I was transitioning out of my job as a youth pastor, right? And so, you know, I was on staff for maybe 5 years.
Wow, I didn't even know youth pastor, bro.
Where?
Yeah. I did not know that. That's awesome.
Yeah. So, I mean, I was working in Churchill, doing like nonprofit work. And that's kind of what I was doing in college and then out of college. And then mm-hmm. I basically like, fused into this role where I was like, mm-hmm. you know, doing it all. Like I was doing, so like part of it was like youth ministry. The other part was just like, you know, after school programs and all that kind of stuff. Right. But, there was a point where I just felt like, okay, you know, if we want to have another, like we had, RJ at the time and I was like, man, like if I'm trying to like, you know, increase, get a bigger family or if I want to make more money, like how I'm going to do that right now. Mm-hmm. And I still didn't have all the game in my mind. I just felt like, well, I got to make more money. I just got to do. And so my mind, I felt like I had reached the ceiling there. And I just was like, all right, well, I'm going to tell them that I'm going to transition out. And I didn't have a game plan to really figure it out yet. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so mistake number one, I told them what I was thinking about doing. It was really just me processing. Like, I think sure. I'm thinking about this. They went ahead mm-hmm. and, you know, started their search.
Yeah.
And I didn't have a job lined up.
Right.
And so I'm freaking out.
Yeah.
That's funny.
It wasn't funny at the time. I can laugh now.
Yeah. Hey, but guys, I mean, I'm getting ready to leave somewhere.
Yeah. So it was so weird. I mean, it's totally awkward because I'm like, yo, like, I've never had to really apply for a job. Like, everything that I had up to that point had been, like, I pretty much walked into it or the position was created. Like everything.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, you know, looking back, I mean, yes, because every time, to me, I look at it like I'm a dude coming out of college, everything's leveled up for me. It's like I was an RA, I was able to pay for like my college tuition the last couple of years of school, so I'm just trying to get some money. But I'm trying to make a difference at the same time, so mm-hmm. I wasn't really just thinking about the money, and so I hadn't really been investing in myself. I was trying to invest in other people and in sure. the community. Yeah. And so in light of that, looking back, I'm like, I didn't have the confidence or the tools to really transition out of that space or out of that world. Because I'm like, man, especially if you're doing kind of like God's work, it's kind of like, oh, like this is like this thing. Like if you're, you know, doing ministry, then you're going to be just doing ministry. Mm-hmm. And you don't I mean, you can do other things, but like in your mind, it's kind of like, I mean, you don't really see. I mean, you see pastors, you know, leaving, but like for the most part, it's just like you stick into that specific role, right? So I'm like, all right, how am I going to actually translate from, you know, this into like either corporate sector or not, you know, or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so I really was just in this place where I was stuck. I didn't know what to do. I was like, how am I going to translate this? And so really, I think what was super, super helpful for me, and I know you had mentioned therapy, I had like some mentors that were just like clutch to like help me understand like what I had inside of myself. Because it was like, I didn't understand my value anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, what was I actually going to do differently? You know, I knew I could do some stuff, but it's just like, all right, I'm trying to get like a salary job. I'm trying to like get some benefits. I got a kid. I got a kid and perhaps having another kid. So I'm just like, all right, how do I kind of position myself? So, you know, so I think having mentors, having, I think I had like, I don't know if I had a coach at the time, but I know I did life coachings too.
Okay.
Ultimately, you started doing therapy. But to me, it was just like really that self-reflection and me like being able to really hone in on like, all right, what are the skills that I need to get? And then mm-hmm. going after that instead of just feeling like I don't have it now. It's like, all right, well, what do you need? You know, so I ended up getting into education and, you know, took a leap of faith, really, because I wasn't quite sure what I was going to do, you know. Mm-hmm. And so it's weird because looking back, I was like, man, like this is not how I, you know, planned this out. And, you know, some people can look at it and it's like, well, you know, it's, you know, based on who you are, it's not necessarily what you do. You know? Right. So I think that we had to start there. It was not necessarily about what I did that gave me value, but who I was. Mm-hmm. And the fact that it's like, oh, they're not lucky to have me. Like, oh man, I'm not lucky to have them. They're lucky to have me. So it's like, you got, you know, reversing that mindset. Mm-hmm. So I think it was that shift for me that helped me to kind of get back into that place of the clarity. So mm-hmm.
yeah, yeah, it's good. It's good. Moments of clarity.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. Right.
It's good.
Yeah, man.
Well, I am at peace, I'm going to say, to just be able for us to just, you know, go around the round table and kind of discuss, you know, the tools and the resources that we use to find clarity. So I just want to say thank y'all.
Yeah, man. Again,
what's up, man? This is
taking
beautiful.
That time, man, and I'm looking forward to others to just listen and take that time, and you know, if it works for you, try it. You know, if it doesn't, you know, keep seeing what else works out there for you. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. I feel like, you know, we don't have the answers, but I come to realize that life is about trial and error. You know, mm-hmm. and trying to find clarity is definitely about trial and error. So keep an open mind for sure. Keep an open mind and, you know, see what works for you.
Yeah.
Find that peace.
And don't do it alone, man. I think that sometimes you can be on an island.
Oh. Yeah.
So vulnerability is key, man. We got to find people that we can open up to because we're not meant to do this alone, man.
Vulnerability is key, and I think that is a Achilles heel in our culture. When I say our, I talk about the black man. Mm-hmm. And we have a hard time saying, bruh, I'm not good. You know what I mean? Because we already start off with good.
Right.
You
right.
know, and we have to switch that to how are you? Mm-hmm. And not mm-hmm. feel like it's, you know, weakening us mm-hmm. or right, right. demasculinized or anything like mm-hmm. that. But
Simone Biles, right?
Yeah, exactly. We have to switch that narrative to say, yo, how are you? And us being patient and giving us the capacity to listen mm-hmm. to one another, to figure out, you know, just to just listen and then take it from there.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's good. That's really good. You know, being intentional, right, with how are you, right? Mm-hmm. Not just a normal how are you, right? Yeah. Just as a form of, you know, a pseudo greeting, right?
Right.
But legit, like, how are you doing? Like, what's going on? Yeah. You know, and really showing some concern. And I think, as a people, we definitely need to prioritize that because there is a stigma in the black community, you know, in terms of mental illness and mental health and help for mental health. And You know, I don't know where it came from. And I think that's something to really think about. Like, where did this originate from, right? Because I've heard people say all the time, man, therapists, that's that white people shit. Mm. I've heard that as a therapist, right? Mm. You know, and you know.
So true.
And so we can be so toxic as a culture.
Yeah.
It's like crabs in a barrel, you know. Like, we condemn things that's actually going to benefit us and help us, right?
Yeah. Sheesh.
You know.
Oh, my God.
Go to a family reunion and say, no, I don't eat meat.
What?
You crazy? Yeah. They gonna look at you sideways, bro.
Should I eat meat all my life? I'm good,
right?
Right.
You know, that's crazy.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah. So
it's like,
yeah, we toxic, man. We gotta get better. We gotta get better. You know, if you see somebody trying to better themselves, why show why discourage? Why not encourage?
Why not encourage?
Mm. Right? Why we gotta discourage?
Bruh, I feel like that's a part of the recipe right there, is encouragement and commending one another for being vulnerable, for being ourselves, for being our true self, for being uncomfortable. We have to continue to commend, you know what I mean? Like, shout out to Larry June. One of his favorite sayings is like, good job, yo. You know what I mean? Like, that's what we have to say to each other, bro. Like, good job, man. So we can get that confidence to be like, hey, man, I'm not good right now. This is what's bothering me. Like, for real,
yeah.
I'm having a hard time. You know what I mean? I'm dealing with some things, and I need somebody to talk to. Like, dead serious, man. Mm-hmm. Like, straight up.
Yep.
So.
Yeah.
And I would add this, man. This conversation actually reminds me of a specific person that I was real cool with at the time, and not to say that we wouldn't be cool if we see each other again, but I know that this brother was really dealing with some mental issues, and I didn't really even know how to help this dude, and I was trying to ultimately be the person he could talk to, but at some point you kind of get this you know, awareness that, like, man, like, I can't really help this person, or I can't, you know, so, like, what, you know, what, I think now, being aware of therapy, you know what I'm saying, maybe what's, like, a resource or two that, you know, for the person that might be listening who says, like, hey, maybe I need help, or maybe I got a man, or whatever, who I can refer some to, like, what would be, like, you know, the next thing to do?
Ooh.
Well, you know, I think, that's a good point, man, because we all got that one person we know. Right.
That's what I was just like.
That needs to talk to somebody.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yes, sir.
You know, and you know, and what I find, man, a lot of times, you know, it's working out of that victim mentality.
Ooh.
Right? Meaning, like, all right, I'm putting all this blame on everything, everyone else, but I'm not doing nothing to fix it. Right? Yeah. And I always say to myself, like, when does the victim stop being the victim? Mm. Right? You know, that's when they decide I'm no longer want to be the victim. You know, it's like when I decide, you know, I got to take responsibility, unfortunately, for how life has treated me. Mm-hmm. Right? I got to go do something about it now. You know, and I think that's sometimes the hardest thing to accept in life. Like, that life has thrown me lemons, right? Life has thrown me lemons. And I don't want to make lemonade. I don't like lemonade.
Yeah.
I like sweet tea. Right. Yeah. I don't want to lemonade. I don't, yeah. You know. So I would say, you know, big thing, you know, if you don't have family members you can trust, family members that you can talk to, a friend you can talk to, then, you know, talk to a therapist, talk to a mentor, talk to someone that you know that you can talk to in confidence, that you feel like, whatever I say is going to stay here.
Right. Yeah.
You know, because I think, I know personally for me, I don't like sharing information if I know you're a talker, if I know that you're going to be chit-chatting and, talking to, you know, everyone, telling my business, you know. So, but at the same time, there's a level, hey, sometimes I just don't care, you know. Mm-hmm. Or if I got to get it out, I got to get it out, you know. Yeah. And I think sometimes it's just developing, you know, a sense of, you know, I would say reducing the pride and then developing, you know, a little strength in that and saying, you know what, I'm gonna call a therapist. I'm gonna look for somebody that's relatable. I'm gonna look for someone who, you know, who specializes in something that I want to address.
Right.
You know, but I think at the end of the day, you got to start taking care of yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that takes, that's a process in of itself, man. For sure. Think, you know, it's kind of like a lifestyle change that you got to be willing to make, because it's not mm-hmm. just like, all right, I talked to somebody one time, but it's, I think it's an investment that you got to be willing to make into yourself. And so, but it's, you know, a better you is a better you for everybody else. So
true.
Yeah.
So true. So true. I mean, good stuff, man. I think we, when it comes down to changing, right, and growing, you know, we have to change our habit. And you know, the things that are important to us, I feel like, is definitely like our mental health. And it really comes down to the granular things and carving out that time mm-hmm. to spend time with the water, spending time mm-hmm. with your mentor, spending time with your therapist. You really have to reevaluate your schedule yeah. and figure out how you can carve out that time for you. That's super important. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So, know that.
That's what's up, man. I think that's a dope place to land the plane for this joint, man. So,
yes, sir. Yes.
Yo,
yes, sir.
Appreciate everybody's input, man. And
as the kids want to say goodbye as well, as you can see, you know.
Right. Thanks, man. All right, man. But it's been real. Yes, all right, sir. Man. So this is Rated R. Y'all hear from us again soon.
Till next time.
Peace.